of your garment.
Oh, shatayalara boko, shatayalara baha.
Oh, hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Reach out and touch the Lord.
Can you just lift your hand and tell Him how much you love Him, God? I want to get a hold of Your presence. I want to get a hold of Your power, God.
He is passing by this moment. He knows your needs to supply. So reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands and begin to praise Him. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. God, You're everything. You're everything. You're everything to me, my God. I give You the glory, the honor, the praise, and the worship. For only You are worthy. Only You are worthy to be praised. Mighty is our God. Mighty is our God. High and lifted up. There's no other name, nor other under name under heaven, whereby we must be saved. I love You, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. I praise You. I worship You, God. Hallelujah.
Need You more. More than yesterday. I need You more. More than words can say. I need You more. More than before. I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord. More than yesterday, I need You more. More than words can say, I need You more. More than before, I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord.
Yes, God, I need You. I need You.
I need You more. More than yesterday, I need You more.
Every single day, God, I need You. God, I wake up in the morning and I call upon Your name. I need You, God. I need You more than anything, Jesus. You are my everything. You are my everything, God. I want You to cover me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Every single particle of my body, I want it to be in tune with You, Jesus. I love You, God. I love You, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. For You are great. You are great. You are great, my God.
I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord. I need You more. More than yesterday. I need You more. More than words can say.
I can't tell You how much I need You, Jesus. More than any word can say. God, I need You more. I need You more every moment of my life. I need You more each and every moment. God, I love You.
Yesterday, I need You more. More than words can say, I need You more. I need You more. I need You, Lord.
Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Do Your work in me, dear Jesus. Do Your work in me, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be a living sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, everything in me, oh God, to be reflecting Your image, God. Hallelujah. I want to be, oh God, a reflection of You, God. I love You. I love You. I love You, wonderful Jesus. Hallelujah.
Glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify Your name. The glory and the honor, Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. No, no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. No, no one else like you. Glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we magnify your name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. No, no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Hallelujah, you are the greatest of the great. I lift your holy name. I lift your holy name. I bless you, my God. Hallelujah, I lift you high and lift it up. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, can anybody lift your hand and say, God, you're great, and I want to give you some great praise. Hallelujah, I will shout with a voice of triumph, for you've already won the victory. So great, you do great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. No, no one else like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Raise your hands. Am I gonna tell God how much you love him? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every day, oh God, I want to rededicate my life to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything to you, my God. Amen, amen. It's come time to give unto the Lord. Praise God. If you will march with us as we sing this song, we want to shake your hand and greet you, tell you how great it is to see you here. Hallelujah. We give unto the Lord because he gave unto us. He gave his only begotten son. So we give unto him because he gave unto us. Amen.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul is at rest. Oh, Lord,
I give you thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest, oh Lord. I give you thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, and yes, my soul has found rest, oh Lord. I give you thanks. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Uplifted hands. Can we reach out to our Creator? Dear God, we have come here this morning, oh Lord. We want to reach out to you. We know we need you today, oh God. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our Creator. We are so thankful for your love and your mercy and your goodness today, dear Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your holy name. Amen. The word of the Lord tells us, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. If you need God in your life today, he is here to meet you. Amen. Brother Jonathan is coming this morning. Amen. And he's going to preach the word of God to us. If you want God today, he is here. Amen. Listen to the words of life. Brother Jonathan Akers.
Hallelujah. What do you want me to do this morning? Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to preach the word of the Lord this morning. Because God is good and greatly to be praised. Hey, I'll get on this in a second, but since I'm here, I want to go ahead and say it. I want you to remember this. That way I don't have to explain it later. Let me find the exact quote here. A picket is a detachment of troops guarding an army from surprise attack. Okay? So I want you to remember what a picket is, okay? And you'll figure out why later. I may never mention it again, but at least you know. God is good. Amen. You may be seated. I'll be a moment. Hallelujah. God has blessed this church so much. I mean, look at this. This is great. It's great to see all our visitors. It's great to see you guys. Hallelujah. God is so good. God's blessing our church, giving us revival. Hallelujah. Well, while we're here, I want you guys to, all our visitors and those that have been here a while, it ain't going to hurt you to hear it again. Amen. The base of all that we believe in this church is Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Hallelujah. And those keys were so that we can enter into heaven. Then Peter gave us the keys to the kingdom in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. So if you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. Because God is good and I want to read this. Hallelujah. I'm an evangelist. What that means is I spread the good news of Jesus. Hallelujah. And this is the best news of all, that God has given us a plan for redemption so that we can live with him eternally in heaven. Hallelujah. So Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. You don't have to stand yet. I'll get to my text in just a moment and we will stand. Okay. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Okay, first of all, we have repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is noticing that you're doing some bad things. You're sinning against God. Sins are mentioned in the Word of God. The Ten Commandments are talking about the sins of God you're not supposed to do. Many other things are given in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Adultery is wrong. Hallelujah. You can go through all of these things, and I don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to glance over that. But repentance is noticing and knowing, God, I'm doing wrong in this situation. I repent. That means you're not just saying you're sorry. That means I'm not going to do it anymore. So you say, God, I realize this is wrong, and I'm turning the opposite direction, and I'm not going that way anymore. Hallelujah. That means that the things I was doing before, I'm not going to do them anymore. The places I was going, hanging out with druggies, I'm not doing that anymore. Hallelujah. I'm not going to the bars anymore. I'm not hanging around those people anymore because I'm changing my life. I'm turning from the old way and going to a new way. Hallelujah. That's repentance. Being baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The name is important because the Bible says there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus is what saves us. You go down in the water. We have a cattle tank up there. We can fill it up in about 15 minutes. Hallelujah. You go down in the name of Jesus. You become a child of God. All of your past life, all of the sins of the past life are washed away. They're never remembered by God again. They're as far as the east is from the west. He never remembers the sin again. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are born again. Nicodemus said to Jesus, hey, is it possible for me to enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He said, hey, I say unto you, you need to be born of the water and of the spirit, or you can't see the kingdom of God. That comes to the third part. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I feel good. Praise God. Being born of the water is baptism. You go down under the water, all of your sin is washed away by the blood of Jesus. Being born of the Spirit is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is that? God takes control of your tongue, and you begin to speak of another language that you've never learned and you never heard before. Oh, hallelujah. And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be witnesses unto me into Judea and Samaria and all the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. So, what were the three keys that God gave him? Firstly, repentance. Secondly, baptism in Jesus' name. And thirdly, it's a gift. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You have those say, well, the Holy Ghost is only for certain people. I have news for you. That's not true. Because the Bible says in verse number 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God thou call. So that means it's for you, your brother, your sister, your brother's wife. It's for you and all that are far off. Excuse me while I get my shout on for a second. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love this message. Amen. Praise God. Okay, I'm ready to get into my actual message now. My title this morning is The Necessity of Preparation. The necessity of preparation. Hallelujah. If you'll stand with me for the reading of the word, to honor the word of God. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 3. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse number 3. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 3. If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say oh me. Well, that's good. Okay, we're getting better at this. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 3. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God, he is that goeth with you, to fight for you against your enemies, and to save you. Amen. I want to stop there. You may be seated. You go ahead and sit down, and as long as you don't fall asleep on me, we'll be doing good. Hallelujah. Okay, so first of all, God says that don't be afraid of your enemies. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to go ahead of you and help fight your battles. But the problem is when you go into battle without preparation. Hallelujah. And I'll get there, and I'm getting there. Okay. Verse number 5. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that hath built a new house and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return into his house, lest he die in battle and another man dedicate it. Okay, so I'm talking about preparation here. This may seem a little strange to you. Why am I coming out in this scripture? Because I want you to understand something. God said, those that are not prepared, go back home. I don't want you in the battle. Those that are not prepared, I don't want you in the fight. He said, those that have not prepared or dedicated their homes, go back home and dedicate it. I don't want another man. I don't want you dying and another man dedicating your house. I want you to go home and I want you to take care of the things right now. Hallelujah. So preparation is vitally important for living for God. Amen. So I want you to imagine something with me. I'm going to use my imagination, okay? The church, this is our base camp, okay? This is our home city. Hallelujah. We are soldiers of God. And this is the place where we come and we have our respite between battles. This is the place where we come and we have a moment of relaxation and say, God, I need to recuperate before I go out into battle again. When you come into the house of God, that's the only place you're going to be without battles for a short time. Hallelujah. We have to go back into our daily lives. We have to go back to work. We have to go back home. We have to go back to school. But the thing that's important is to understand while you're in the house of God, while you're at your base camp, that's the time for preparation. Hallelujah. And you see, so many times we'll come to church and we'll sit there in the pew and we'll say, it's just great to have a time of relaxation. We'll sit there, we'll fold our arms, sit back and say, man, it's great to have a moment where the devil isn't attacking me. But the house of God is not just for a moment of respite. When they were home, it was time of recuperation and preparing for the next battle. So when they went home, they didn't just sit around. They began to eat and drink so that their body could begin to repair itself. So they could retrieve energy for the next battle. And you know what else they did? They trained for the next battle. That means they got with their brothers and sisters. And they said, brother, I need you to train with me today. I need you to get on your knees with me because we need to fight some battles now so that I'm prepared to fight later. We need to prepare for the battle that's ahead. We've not seen it yet, but we know it's coming. Hallelujah. Verse number 6. What man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle and another man eat of it. Verse number 7. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return into his house, lest he die and another man take her. Verse number 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful or faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest the brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You see, if you're not prepared, when you get into battle, your brothers and sisters, they're relying on you. And if you are faint-hearted, if you are afraid of what's going to happen, if you're tired, faint, all of us are familiar with the term faint. You know, people pass out. Faint-hearted, that means that you haven't prepared. That means when you went back to the base camp, you didn't eat and drink. And so when you get into battle, you're shaky. And as you begin to exert yourself, all of a sudden, the dehydration Hallelujah. And I'm going to get there in just a second. The dehydration begins to set in. Hallelujah. Hunger pangs begin to work through you. And you're saying, well, I just don't have enough energy to fight anymore. Brother, I need some help. But he's over there fighting his own battle. He says, okay, I can give you a moment of respite for just a second. I can fight for you for just a second. But I have my own battle going on over here. Get yourself back on your feet. I'll fight for you for a second. But you're going to have to get back on your feet and fight for yourself. Shatayalarabaha. The importance, the necessity of preparation. Hallelujah. And it shall be that when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, and they shall make of the captains of the armies to lead the people. Hallelujah. There's some of those that have come into church. Hallelujah. Just a second. God is so good. The Bible refers to the preacher, the pastor, as the watchman on the wall. Thank you very much. He is there to protect the city and to warn of the battles to come. This is the watchman on the wall. Hallelujah. He is the officer over the church. And he elects those to be the captains over particular parts of his army. Hallelujah. So the watchman on the wall, he's looking and he sees the battles ahead. And he says, hey, look, this person is going to be struggling. I can see by the way that their prayer life is going. I can see it on their face. They're struggling. And so what the pastor does, the watchman on the wall, he sees those that are struggling and says, I need to elect some captains in the church. And then that's one of the reasons we say prayer request. He says, captains, I need you to pray over these requests because so-and-so, they're struggling. This person over here, they're struggling. So the watchman on the wall gets up and says, this is an urgent prayer request and I need the captains over my armies to begin to pray and to begin to intercede for the saints of God that are faint at heart. Praise God. Amen. James 3 and 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Hallelujah. Why am I? I'm going to start talking about water. But I want to fill this in just a second, okay? The reason why I'm saying water is in John 7 and 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Notice it said rivers, and I'll get back to that in a second. But the living water is the presence of God, the Spirit of God that washes over you. Hallelujah. So I'm going to use the analogy of water here in just a second. Okay. Now, when you come into the house of God, the Bible talks about the preaching of the word as the meat unto our soul. Hallelujah. As you're a babe, you're just now getting into church, you need milk. But the preacher is giving forth food for the people that are here. When he begins to preach, he's feeding you. Hallelujah. So when you come back to the base camp, if you close your ears and you sit on that pew with your arms folded and say, well, he might be preaching a good message, but I'm offended because so-and-so over there said something that offended me, so I'm going to let it get in the way and I'm not going to listen what he has to say. You refuse the food that's God giving you. So you're sitting there and the food is coming. Now when you come into the base camp, it's time for recuperation. It's time for you to get energy for the day ahead. Hallelujah. So when you're coming to the house of God, you're a preacher, feed me. I need some food because I have some battles and I'm going to have something to sustain myself. I'm going to need something to call on. I'm going to need some energy. Hallelujah. There's an old radio commercial. Hallelujah. That said that Wheaties, eat your Wheaties, that gives you clean energy. They advertise the energy that food brings. How you may be seated. Hallelujah. So I wanted to say that when you hear the preaching, it's your spiritual Wheaties. You're receiving the food that God says, this is going to give you the energy, the stamina to fight like I told you to. Hallelujah. But there's something about it. Dehydration sets in. If you don't have water, if you don't have some liquid, hallelujah, that goes down your throat that is pure and clean. Your liquid is the Holy Ghost. But guess what happens if they come back to base camp and they say, well, I'm not that thirsty. I'll take just a sip. Well, that may sustain you for an hour, maybe two. But after that, dehydration will set right back in again. The problem with the preparation is that we come to church, and I'm talking to those that have received the Holy Ghost. If you haven't received it, you need it, because without the water, you'll become dehydrated, and you'll never make it living for God. But when you come to the house of God, and you begin to pray, and you begin to worship, and you begin to speak in tongues, you receive that sip, and you stop. in order for you to get rid of dehydration, you've got to drink it. You've got to glug it down. Hallelujah. You've got to receive as much as you can, because you don't know the next time you're going to see a well in the desert. You don't know the next time you're going to see some water that you can drink. Oh, shatayarabakata. You're not going to know the next time that you'll have an opportunity to come into the house of God and say, God, I need to be filled up. I need you to fill my tank so that when I get thirsty a little later, I can begin to say, okay, I need to pump some more into my bloodstream. Don't stop. When you get into the house of God and you begin to speak in tongues, don't stop it. Don't let the devil lie to you. Begin to praise. Begin to worship and say, devil, you're not going to steal my water from me. You begin to dance. You begin to jump. You begin to say, God, I love you. I love you. You speak in tongues. And then you feel a moment, just a slow moment. Do you know what training is? When you go back into, when you go back to your base camp, you're training for the battle ahead. You know the training in the house of God is your worship. Because you're training for tomorrow when you're discouraged and you need a way out, because you have to fight. How do I fight? Well, you know what happens when you're dehydrated, right? It begins to cloud your mind. You can't think straight. And you're weak and you're tired and you don't know what to do. But when you've trained in the house of God, it's a natural instinct for you to begin to worship in your daily life. I may be a little dehydrated, but I've trained in the house of God and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. And you begin to worship and you begin to praise and you begin to glorify God. So what do? You begin to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. And then God says, continue to train. Don't stop just because you've had a little bit of water. Continue to praise. Continue to train. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you lift your hands and begin to praise God for just a moment? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want to train for the battle ahead. Hallelujah. You may be seated. One of the tricks of the devil is when you get dehydrated, you get discouraged. And you look, and you know what happens when you're in the desert? You begin to see mirages. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You begin to see shimmers of water. Hallelujah. And you keep walking, but the closer you get to where you thought it was, the farther it seems away. But the devil tricks you, because the devil will put fountains with bitter water. Hallelujah. He'll give you empty wells to find. You see, when you get in, when you get and you didn't prepare right. Hallelujah. And you haven't kept your prayer life upright. Hallelujah. I love the way my dad said it this morning, talking about how that prayer is you marching ahead and getting ready for what's to come. I love that. But you haven't prayed right, and you begin to get dehydrated, and you begin to get thirsty, and you begin to get discouraged, and you mess up just a little bit, and you begin to get discouraged, and you say, well, I am so thirsty, I've got to have some water. I've got to have something to get inside of my throat. My lips are cracked. My tongue feels like a wedge of wood. I can't taste anything. My saliva stopped coming. I need water. And so the devil gives you these empty wells. Hey, guess what? You can go back to the alcohol. It makes you forget. You can go back to the drugs. They make it all seem better for just a little bit. You can go and sit yourself in front of the television and receive as much numbing, mind-numbing entertainment, and it numbs the pain. But you know what? It's feeding you salt water. But you know, well, the thing about salt water is that it may feel good going down. The actual sensation of having a cold liquid going down your throat, it feels good for a second. But then, all of a sudden, the salt begins to burn in your cracked lips. And the salt begins to burn upon your tongue. Hallelujah. And you know the other thing about salt? It absorbs water. Your body will not take salt water as a nourishment. It rejects it because it's not clean. It's not pure. Hallelujah. The only way to get water is from God. You go to the empty wells, you're going to receive salt water. Hallelujah. And you know, salt water begins to, salt absorbs water. So when it's in your system, it begins to drain the moisture you have left. So that when you begin to drink of that salt water, you're worse off than when you began. Hallelujah. The devil wants to trick you and lie to you so that in your everyday life, he gets you dehydrated because you didn't prepare right before you left church. And you go into your life and you begin to fight and you get dehydrated and you're fighting and you say, God, I need some water. And he takes you to your knees and he says, I need water. And then the devil shows you that mirage in the desert. Look, here's a fountain. And so you begin to stumble toward it. And finally you come to that fountain. And you say, yes, water. And you begin to drink it in and find that it's salt water. And you begin to fall. I can't make it back to the base camp. Oh, I'm so dehydrated. I can barely walk. My mind is so clouded. I can't see what's right. I can't see what's wrong. You see, when you begin to do these things, the devil begins to give you deception in your mind, and you can't tell what's right or wrong anymore. And I'll get back to that in just a second. I want to talk about this. We talked about having the soldiers out, the picket that watches for the camp. God has given you a conscience, and if you have the Holy Ghost, a discernment of spirits. But there's something about it. When you become dehydrated, you know what happens to your conscience? He's like the watchman that stands up on the hill watching for raiders that are going to come in a surprise attack while the others are sleeping. The watchman, when you get dehydrated, he falls asleep. You see, you didn't prepare right before you came to your daily walk, into your daily battle. You didn't prepare right. And so you're there. And you begin to get dehydrated. You pray, you prayed Sunday, but Monday morning, you stayed up late last night, Sunday night, and you had to wake up early, and you were too tired, so you hit the snooze button a couple times, and then it was late for work, and you had to leave. You didn't have your prayer time like you should have, and so you go through your day, and the watchman on the wall falls asleep. So that you begin to walk through your daily walk, and then you can't tell what's right or wrong anymore. You can't tell where the enemy's sneaking in. And the devil does sneak. He's the master of deception, a fox, the Bible says. He sneaks in and he plants some bottles of water in your camp that are salt water. It's okay. You're tired. You stayed up late the night before. Just go to bed. Don't have to pray. So you go to sleep. And then when you wake up the next morning, your lips are feeling really dry. Your tongue, you can't. Man, I'm really thirsty. Well, man, I'm really thirsty this morning. And so you go and you become more and more dehydrated. And then you see the mirage. And you go. And because your watchman is asleep, you have no way of telling that this fountain is a bitter water. You have no way of telling that this is actually the devil sneaking in your camp while you're asleep and trying to grab a hold of you. So, how do you prepare adequately? Well, the word of God is your sword. Faith is your shield. Breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Belt of truth. These things are there, the armor that you have to protect you. So when you get to the house of God, you know what you're doing? You're repairing your armor. You're shining it up. You're getting it ready for battle. So you come to the house of God, and that is your time of, okay, I am preparing inside and out for the battle to come. But we come to the house of God and feel, and we do it so laxly. We act like it's just a time of everything's great, pink ponies and cotton candy. But guess what? You still have a battle to go to the following week. And if you want to have victory, you have to prepare in the house of God. So that means when you come into the house of God and we begin to do worship service, we begin to sing, that means, hey, I need to fill up with some water. I need to get up to the front and I got to say, God, pour that living water. And guess what? It isn't just a bottle of water. It isn't jug. The Bible says rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Out of his belly flows rivers of living water. Hallelujah. God, I want to get inside that river. I don't just want to dip down and grab a little bit. I don't just want to stick my hand in and drink a little bit. I don't want to stick a cup in. God, I want to dive in. I want to get as much as I can. I don't just want to receive some in my mouth. I want it to cover my entire body. Hallelujah. God is so good. So you begin to get up there and you say, God, I need to train for battle ahead. Because there's going to be time this upcoming week I'm not going to feel like praising. I'm not going to feel like worshiping. And if I've practiced here, if I've trained here, when I get to my daily walk, it's going to be a natural occurrence. I've been in, when I was young, about 7 years old, I went into a martial arts class. Repetition is the key to martial arts. They go through drills and they train you, and you start, you punch from one side to the other, you turn, you punch, and it happens every single time. It's repetition again and again and again. And guess what happens when you've done that repetition so much? Finally, when you begin to spar with an opponent, hallelujah, they come. It's a natural thing. You don't even think about it. When they swing, you block and move in. It's something that is a natural occurrence that happens. And that's what happens when you begin to train, when you praise and worship God. So when you wake up in the morning, I'm alive again to God. Day. God, thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to live for you. God, you're the greatest of the great. God, you are my king. My God, I love you with all of my heart. And you don't even think about it. When you wake up, blessed be the name of the Lord. When you go to sleep, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you're washing dishes, man, God, you're so good. I've got a dishwasher. Hallelujah. God, you're so great. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When you're at work, God, I have a job. Thank you, Jesus. Because you have done some training at the house of God. You've been there and you said, God, I need to train because I have some battles. I know they're going to be there. Hallelujah. So during worship service, you train and try to get a hold of a little bit of water. You may be seated. And the preacher gets up there. Pastor begins to preach, begins to teach. And you're sitting there and what do? Well, I'm not too hungry today. So I'll just sit here and let's see. Oh, what's new on Twitter? Oh, what do you know? They just posted something new to Instagram. We don't have a lot of problem in that church, thank God. Hallelujah. But if you don't pay attention, you're not receiving the food. You can put a plate of food in front of somebody, doesn't mean they're going to eat it. If they're full, nothing you can do can make that person eat it unless they want to. You first got to put an eager want in them to eat it before they're going to. If you stick a gun to their head and say, eat it, you're making them want to do it because they want their life. You've got to put in them an eager want to do it, or they're not going to do it because they're full. But you also have hungry people that refuse to eat. You have those that are starving to death but yet refuse to eat. What are their reasons? You have the anorexics. They don't want to eat because they want to be skinny. They want to be fit. They want to be trim. You name the reasons. Lust, whatever it may be. But the problem is that when you get into the house of God, that's the only time you get the food. You can tune in to Holy Ghost Radio, which is a great app, by the way, and listen to preaching, but it's not the same. Because the thing about getting into the house of God and listening to the preaching is you're there to back it up. You're there to say, preach it, brother. Amen. You know what you're doing? You're pressing into it. You're pressing into it. That means that you're not just stuffing it in your face just to get it down. That means you're tasting it. Oh, this tastes good. Man, this tastes good. Hallelujah. This is a great morsel of food right here. I'm used to milk, but this is some steak right here. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm used to fast food, but this is a home-cooked meal. Yeah. I travel a lot, so I know what it is to eat fast food. It ain't nothing on home-cooked. Hallelujah. God is good. And then you press into it and you say, yes, sir. Preach it, preach it, preach it. You're agreeing with him. You're saying, I believe what he's preaching. Hallelujah, I'm accepting the food that he's giving. Amen. And then here comes altar call. Hallelujah. And you say, God, you know what? I want as much of the water as I can get. I want to dunk myself in the river. But I see my brother over here, and it looks like he's pretty dry. It looks like he hasn't had water for a while. So I'll share a little bit of mine to get him started. Yes. The thing about the old wells, the old hand pump wells, you had to prime them. That means you get a little bit of water and you pour it down in there to get the well started to pump. So I'm going to prime my brother and get him ready for the well of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I'm going to get him ready. I'm going to put my arm around him and say, God, I've got a little water to spare. I still got some in my tank. I'm going to give it to my brother so that we can shout together, so that we can get in the water together, so that we can say, God, I want some water. God, I want some. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Now I'm closing. Hallelujah. You know what? In the Old Testament, the most sacred name for God was Yahweh. The other names were descriptive titles. All of the names were descriptive titles of God. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi, God is my banner. Amen. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh, God is my victory. All of them had descriptive titles that described the greatness of God. Okay? But the one thing that is greatest about God is his love. So the most holy, revelated name given unto us is Jesus, which means Jehovah has become salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The most holy, revelated name, Jesus, the only name, describes his love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, because the angels of heaven rejoiced when Jesus was born. Why? Because he was declaring his love. God did not die for your sin. He died for you because he loved you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. These altars are open. Do you want to come up here and prepare for battle? Do you want to come up and say, God, I know you love me. I know that your name means that you love me. God, I want to get a hold of you. I want to dedicate my life to you. I want to repent at this altar today, God. I want to say, God, I'm sorry for all that I've done. Hallelujah. Then I want to get up and say, God, I want a river of living water flowing over me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, you're so great. God, you're so great. God, you're so great. Yes, God.
Gonna tear my castle down, starting over. Gonna move to higher ground, starting over. Tired of building on the sand, starting over again. The castle I had built, such a grand affair, built for only pleasure, built without a care. Bright lights and happy music filled the rooms and banquet halls, till suddenly the storm arose and beat upon the walls.
He's here for you. He's here for you. I'm gonna lift your hands and say, God, I want to give you everything, God. I want to live for you, Jesus. He'll hear you. He'll be there for you.
All that remained was the empty shell, the life I'd once known. I'm starting over, gonna tear my castle down. Starting over, gonna move to higher ground. I'm starting over. Tired of building on the sand. Starting over again. Next time, when I build my castle, I will build upon the rock. Let the storms of life blow, but my castle will not fall. I'm starting over. Gonna tear my castle down. I'm starting over. Gonna move to higher ground. Starting over. Tired of building on the sand. Starting over. Say you've searched the whole world over, looking for answers you can't find. Every quest has ended in frustration. Now you're running out of time. May I share with you what I've discovered? All you're looking for is not far away. You will find in Jesus every answer if you'll take the time to pray. You don't have to climb the highest mountain. You don't have to sail the farthest sea. Jesus is as close as a prayer that you softly whisper on your knees. You don't have to wait until tomorrow. Please don't let this moment slip away. Jesus is as close as a prayer if you'll only take the time to pray. Oh, so many times you've fallen victim, flattered by a smile and easy charm, then humiliated by betrayal, caught in the embrace of selfish arms. Does it seem your confidence is broken? You can't bring your heart to trust again. Can you hear the gentle voice of Jesus? He wants to be your closest friend. Does it seem your friends have all forsaken?
Ezekiel 12,
and
verse
you
number
feel
25. For I am the Lord,
shame.
I will speak.
Jesus
and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and I will perform it, saith the Lord your God.
You like to take the time to pray. You don't have to climb.